We begin our service this evening by singing together the praises of our Lord from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 4. Like as the hart for water brooks and thirst doth pant and bray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. The longing which the psalmist and every Christian has for the presence of the Lord. My soul for God, the living God, doth thirst. When shall I near unto thy countenance approach, and in God's sight appear? My tears have unto me been meat, both in the night and day, while unto me continually, where is thy God, they say? My soul is poured out in me when this I think upon, because that with the multitude I heretofore had gone, with them into God's house I went, with voice of joy and praise. Yea, with the multitude that kept the solemn holy days. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 4. Like as the hart for water. Now God, draw near to God in prayer. Let's all pray. It is the evening of thine own day, O Lord our God, and we come together once again to offer to thyself the evening sacrifice of the praise and the devotion, the worship of our hearts and of our souls. And as we come before thee, We are reminded once again that we dare not come on our own righteousness or stand upon our own achievements before such a holy God. But we must come in the one name given underneath heaven whereby we must be saved. We come and we approach before thee in the name of thine only beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased.
And it is his name that we have on our lips. And it is on his finished work that we depend entirely this evening. That once again thou wouldst deal with us in thy grace. That thou wouldst come amongst those who fear thy name. Those who love thee. And even as we have been singing, the delight of our soul is not in the avenue or the channels or the objects that are set before us in the world and in society round about us. But the one thing that we count most precious and most delightsome to us is the sheer joy and thrill of knowing thyself amongst us, closing out the distractions of time and of sense, and opening our minds and feeding us on thy word and on a revelation of thyself, thy character and thy providences, thy plans and thy purposes, that we might be able to take something new with us this evening, on which we may sit down, meditate, reflect, but something fresh to strengthen our souls as we journey along the pilgrim path. For we are aware, O Lord, that as we do so travel along that path and seek to be obedient to thy calling on us, we recognize that there are so many problems and difficulties that sometimes ambush us face to face and at other times creep into the back door of our life. The way in which the seed of doubt can be sown and slowly to grow. And all the times there can be that fulsome attack upon what we believe. But, O Lord, these and many other dangers to us we bring before thee, our God, that thou wouldst envelop us in thine arms and overshadow us with thy grace, that we might know what it is to have the protection of our God, even when we're going in dangerous and in threatening circumstances each and every day, when chaos is around our feet and we know not by ourselves which way to go. May the counsels of thy word and the prompting of thy spirit be assured guidance to us in the way ahead we must take. O Lord, our God, our lives come underneath the scrutiny of the world and society day after day. How do we cope with the pressures they have to cope with also? We may not say a word, but we pray, Lord, that the testimony of our lives might bring the knowledge of things spiritual to bear upon those strangers to thee round about us that we have dealings with. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make us careful how we do live, that we might always seek to be in harmony with thy word, and even as we walk in that word and be obedient to it, may we know thy presence and thy blessing upon us as we do so. So we come and pray, O Lord, for ourselves and our Christian life and witness. We pray, Lord, for our homes and for our families and the circle of blood round about us and at a distance from us. We pray, Lord, for those who are especially a concern to us that may be going through difficulties and problems at this time. We have the spoken prayers we can put our amen to at the end, but there are also, Lord, these silent prayers that come to our hearts and seek to ascend up before thyself. And we do so, Lord, with the confidence that thou art the God who hears and who answers the prayers of thy people. So often, so often in ways that defy our anticipation. So often in ways that we could never, ever have experienced, devised or planned. And so often they're wonderful in our eyes. Grant, Lord, thy blessing upon each day's providence as it unfolds for us in this week on which we have embarked. We pray that thou wouldst use us where we have been put. And we pray that as the door of opportunity opens to speak in thy name, Thou wouldst give us words appropriate to the situation we are in. And when their sun comes upon us, surprising things and unexpected things, so often we can think of them as accidents along the path of life. May we be able to look upon them through the eyes of Scripture and the understanding of faith, calling them not accidents but appointments from our God. And we pray, Lord, that we might lean upon Thee all the more firmly and fully when these things come upon us. And we pray, Lord, for those who do not have that assurance, who do not have that resource that is given to Thy people, who are not able to understand life as we do. And we pray that Thou wouldst work in them, in the providences which befall them, that that might be a means of calling them unto Thyself. Lord, we have so many that we have to pray for within our own community as well as within our own family circle. We pray for those, O Lord, who are particularly known to us, going through troublesome, dangerous times. We see COVID rearing its head from place to place now and then. We see the short-term and the long-term consequences of it. And we pray, Lord, for those who are frail and old and weak and vulnerable. So many reasons and so many ways in which concern might fester and anxiety might grow within us. We ask, Lord, that Thou would keep every one of Thy people in perfect peace as they hope and trust in Thee. And in doing so, may our lives count as light in a dark world of society round about us today. Lead and guide us as a people, as a nation. Give to those who have the responsibility of making far-reaching decisions the wisdom proportionate to the decisions they have to make. And we do ask of Thee, Lord. We do ask that Thou wouldst guide us and lead us in a way and counsels of Thine own word, that we might know what it is to emerge, having learned from Thyself that the wisdom of men is as nothing considering the wisdom of our God. And may we learn to repent and to return to the God we have forsaken as a nation and as a people. And may we realize afresh, or taught it anew, that the path of life is not in the counsels of paths of this world, but only as we walk in the ways of our God. Come upon us, Lord, and deal with us in Thy grace, and bring home spiritual truths and lessons to us. And in all of Thy dealings with us, in the very privileges we have this very moment tonight, the highest, the greatest, the deepest of joys to worship our God, and yet we're conscious of sin, be constantly a companion in this daily journey, even in these high privileges. So deal with us in Thy grace. Pardon us our sins, and come amongst us with blessings above the measure of our asking. For we pray it all in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. We continue our worship, this time from Psalm 19. It speaks of God's law and the qualities of God's word, but coming to the end of this singing, it tells us the effect of it upon ourselves as we walk in that law. So we read to sing from verse 7, God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God, and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then it speaks like this. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are, than honey from the comb that droppeth sweet afar. Moreover, they thy servant warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. God's law is perfect. First reading this evening is from the Old Testament in the book of Judges, and Judges chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. Judges chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. Let us read and hear God's word. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, say, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said to her, If they bind me with 7 greath withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as the thread of tow was broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said to her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that have never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a woman. And she fastened it with the pins, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Amen. And may God add to that reading his own blessing and give us understanding in it. We again sing praise to our God, coming this time to the words of Psalm 62. The one single focus that every one of us and all the Lord's people have down through the years. Psalm 62 from 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not move be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou with patience.
My soul, wait thou.
Second reading, and where we will meditate for a while this evening, is in the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we may read this psalm together. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their death is firm, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak it wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. We've passed the season, but I want to latch on to it. We've passed the time of making New Year resolutions, but let me just throw this one at you all. What resolution have we made spiritually for 2022? The words of verse 28, give it for us, one of the best ones we can have. It is good for me in this year 2022, it is good for me to draw near to God. That is all I want us to think of this evening in our meditation upon this psalm. We all of us are exposed to pressures round about us from our society, pressures from so many different areas, variety of different approaches.
precious within ourselves, from our own character, from our past living, from our own weaknesses, frailties, inconsistencies. We're aware of pressures coming from round about us in our own homes, from our own relations, in our own community, in our own churches. We're aware of pressures coming upon us where we work, where we play, where we live. So many different ways in which pressure comes upon us, and we need, therefore, to be watchful. Watchful over our spiritual character, watchful over our spiritual temperature. Because these pressures are so dangerous to us all. Think of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. There Paul is giving counsel that stands the test of time. Do not be conformed to this world. That's a very simple way of expressing it, but let me put it to you vividly. Think of a car, and we all have different models, all different variations. Think of a car that goes into a car press. The sides come up, the top comes down, and at the end it's exposed to an enormous amount of pressure, and it comes out at the end exactly the same shape, the same size as every other one. It may go in a different shape, different size, different model, different year, but it comes out always the same. That's exactly what happens in our society today. All of us, different characters, differences in so many different ways, but when the pressure of the world bears upon us, it makes us the same way, squeezing out every vestige of Christian interest, Christian testimony, Christian sentiment. It makes us the same shape, the same square box, like everyone else in the world without God. That's what the pressure of society can do to you and to me today. And Paul is giving us very appropriate and down-to-earth counsels. Don't let that happen. Be ye transformed. And the word that is used in the Greek is the word that's so familiar to us. The word is metamorphosis. The word that is used to describe a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And that's what he says you've got to have, that tremendous change. And what is it that Paul specifies is to be the power and the strength to bring about such a huge effect at the core of our being, in every department of life, the small and the great places we go to and deal with and handle. Everyday routines and habits. What is it that's going to change all of these things in the life of you and me? The renewing of your mind. The removing of the old. The replacing with the new. And think again of the mercies of God. And what he's done for you and for me in Jesus Christ. And all of that requires effort. We need to keep our minds focused upon these spiritual realities, these mercies of God. We need to keep our mind focused upon the blessings God has bestowed upon us and given to us, the truths and the principles he set for us. We must not allow ourselves to be distracted from them, but we've got to take them right down to the nitty-gritty of life on a Monday morning, on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Friday night. And if we don't, we lose our balance. Jude, one chapter, but verse 21 says, and sets this counsel before us, and he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. We need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. And that pressure comes upon us. We're going to look at it from Psalm 73, but I want to take some time just to throw out some vivid examples which highlights this need and the pressure that we're under. Because we're living today in very comfortable days. Provision is made for almost every need we have. And if something arises, we simply go to an agency, we're given a telephone number, we go and we call this, that and the other. and somebody or something is left there to meet our need. And along the way, there's always this pressure to squeeze out Christian influence from us in these comfortable days. And the danger is that we lose a vital quality, the quality of a different lifestyle, the quality of a heavenly reality before us, the quality of the expectation of the glory of Christ set for us in prospect when death comes to knock on our door. But especially there's this. In our society today, there's a great pressure that we lose the sheer thrill and captivation of knowing and having the Lord Jesus Christ with us, of simply walking his way, knowing the delight of serving him, obeying him, following him. What can we possibly think of? What can we possibly put in place? Nothing comes up to, nothing matches that, and yet is always under pressure. We need to ask ourselves simple questions. What image do we create? What impress do we make, and what effect do we leave in our society day after day we've lived? Remember what was said way back in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, where the apostles healed the man who was paralyzed at the gate. And the enemies, they took note of something very special about these disciples of the Lord. What was it? They took note that they had spent time with Jesus. That's the quality we need to cultivate, protect. And that's the quality and testimony that is so effective in society today. Now I want to pick up, keeping that in mind, I want to pick up two simple Old Testament pictures. Sometimes when we get truths like we've been holding on to, we set them out in a very principled way. We set them out in a very practical way, but sometimes for the likes of you and me, sometimes we like a flesh and blood example to bring it home to us. And so we read there the life of Samson. Delilah wanted to know the secret of his strength, and there was a constant pressure to betray it and to give it to her, bombarding him with questions day after day. But notice that he was prepared to linger in the dangerous place. He did not kill the conversation and remove it and move on. No, he stayed there and he lingered, a warning for ourselves. But the pressure increased. She came back and says, Samson, you say you love me, but you're not telling me, you're not sharing. And day after day it came to him and wore him down until eventually he told her. And then when the enemy came, Samson thought, well, I'll do as I've always done in the past. I'll shake myself and I'll go out and I'll fight with these Philistines. But there, the last sentence of the verse that we read is a fearful challenge to us. He did not know, he did not realize that the Lord was not with him. A pressure round about him, pressure round about us to achieve the same thing, to take us stepping away from the Lord. That's one example, flesh and blood. Let me give you another one. The Ark of the Covenant. We spoke this morning about the Lord of Hosts and the way in which that was a term that was coming into question and sought after by God's people in the book of Samuel. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 3, we read about the fighting of the Philistines. And God's people weren't winning. So what did they do? Go back to that chapter again later on tonight and read it. And you'll find that they said, well, let's get the Ark of the Covenant down here. That's what they emphasized. That's what they sought after. They wanted the Ark of the Covenant. And in that verse it says, it was this, it was that. That's what their focus was upon. They were treating the Ark of the Covenant as a lucky charm. I always call it rabbit's foot theology. Rabbit's foot theology. Everybody talks about a rabbit's foot being a lucky trinket. Well, that's the way they looked at the Ark of the Covenant, a lucky trinket. If the Ark of the Covenant is with us, we'll be fine. But they didn't win. And they had a long and they had a hard lesson from chapter 4 through to chapter 7. And they had to travel a different path to learn where their emphasis ought to be. Sometimes the Lord takes us along a similar path still. We've lost the focus along the way and we've got to regain it. And sometimes it's a hard path. And there are hard experiences come. But when you move on from 1 Samuel 4 to 1 Samuel 7. Again the same picture. They were under attack by the Philistines. But this time what did they do? This time they had learned their lesson. Regained their focus. They didn't let the pressure get to them. And they says, we will seek the Lord. And Samuel, what did he do? He set up that stone, which we know ourselves, Ebenezer. And what does Ebenezer mean? Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. That's what they were looking for. The Lord's presence with his people. To begin with, in chapter 4, they weren't beaten so much by the strength of the Philistines. No. They were beaten because of the weakness of Israel. Because they lost that quality of close fellowship with their God. The pressure that's round about us today, with the same end in view and the same destination always, to put a wedge between us and our God to drive us apart. That's what we've got today. So let's look at this psalm and the experience the psalmist gives us. With that at the back of our mind, in the way this psalmist opens up his life for us. The method that he uses, in the very first verse, he tells us the conclusion. This is where I'm at. And then he unzips his life and he says, well now, this is the way I got there. This is what happened to me along the road. This is the lessons I learned. This is the experiences I've been through. He tells us, shares with us what he experienced as a way of teaching us, learning us, challenging us. The conclusion and the way it was reached. Truly God is good to Israel. Even to such as are of a clean heart. And then he begins. But for me. And the first thing that he gives us here is the fault that he identifies. He's contrasting himself with others round about him. And just for a moment he was caught in the flood tides of life. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What caused it? I was envious of the foolish. He allowed their situation to influence his thinking. He allowed their situation to influence his thinking. Pressure got to him. He saw the wicked enjoying prosperity in life. He saw the wicked with a trouble-free death. He saw that they weren't plagued like he was. He saw so much round about him, as we do. And we've got to be careful in case we give in like he and allow the situation of our society today to influence our thinking. The way in which he was thinking to begin with, well, maybe there's something wrong with the moral rule of God. Maybe there's something doubting the goodness of God to his own people. That's maybe the way he was thinking that caused him more trouble. Because he says, listen, in verse 7, does God know about these people? Does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God know about them? And then in verse 13, does God know about me? I've cleaned my hands in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. I've behaved like a Christian. And where has it got me? All the thoughts that were piling through his mind. It's not a fleeting concern. He was on the verge of stumbling. He was shaken to the core. He never for one moment thought the problem was his. He was quite prepared to export the problem to somewhere or to someone else. But we've got to remember again the conclusion that he comes to in verse 28. It was good for me. It is good for me to seek the Lord. That's the one priority he is going to come back to time and again with us. And that's the one priority we've got to hold on to ourselves as we go into 2022. The world may think that get this, do this, go there, and you'll be happy the rest of your life. They measure prosperity today in terms of possessions, privileges, or pleasures. And that's the pressure we're all exposed to. And they cause problems for us. And we might be envious. We might be grumbling. We might be slipping. And we might be like that for a long time. Just simply because we're not wearing the right glasses. And we're not reading the right book. The fault that he identifies for us. But then he goes on and he says something else to us. Not only does he give us the fault, but then he gives us the finding. He says in verse 2, but as for me. And then he goes on in verse 22 and he says, so foolish was I and ignorant. The finding that he came to. The strong emphasis that he says, this is the conclusion that he came to. He sees the fault, but he now gives the finding. Where did the fault really lie? In him, not in his God. He begins to wear his heart on his sleeve and he begins to tell us, opening his own heart to tell us about the things that he was thinking in this experience. How do we possess our souls in peace in the midst of the storms of life? When we're exposed to these pressures round about us tomorrow morning, when we're exposed to see the way in which people are thinking, what did you do the weekend? Give a good one. What did you do? Where did you go? And that kind of pressure comes back upon us all the time. It's not through the things of this world that we answer. We can have so much. We can have so much and be thoroughly sad and miserable. The finding that he comes to, it's nearness to God that matters. And that's what he needs. That's what we need. One of the lessons that come home when you get on in years, a little bit on in years at least, I can say. One of the things you begin to see, well, I can just let that go by me. I don't need that as much as I thought I did. I'll just stay where I am instead of going there. We begin to make judgments because we've got our mind focused more and more and more on what's important and what's precious and what's lasting. The things of this world that they value highly and chase after viciously. The one thing that they want more than anything else,
that's not the one thing that we go for. Remember what was said about Mary. Mary and Martha, they were there and they were making a meal for the disciples. The pressure was coming from the kitchen. And Martha came through. Lord, I need someone in the back to peel the potatoes for me. And look at Mary, she's sitting at your feet. And the Lord says, Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful. And it won't be taken from her. That's the one thing that we need to have ourselves also. To be and have the focus of the Lord for ourselves. Oh yes. Everything on the outside can be rosy and perfectly in place for everyone, any one of us. But inside, if we're not in that right relationship with the Lord, then we're wretched and we're empty and we're unhappy. But when we do come close to the Lord, these things are still round about our feet. These things haven't changed. But we have. Because we rest confidently. We rest confidently in the arms and with the experience of the love of God to us. We were thinking this morning of Psalm 46 and the tremendous pressures that come from perhaps providence that visited the people in the Isle that might visit us in our day, in our year, in this year before us. We can think of these things that shock us. But we've got to keep on saying to ourselves the words we had this morning, to be still. To be still and to know that God is our God. Somewhere in the book, the early chapters of Mark, I think it's chapter 4 or chapter 6, something tells me, the disciples had been out as the Lord had sent them to go out in deputation, were telling people, preaching the gospel. And they met and went through so many different experiences. And they come back and their lives are bubbling over. This is what happened here. And we met this person and we told him that thing. And they were there telling the Lord. And the Lord says, come ye apart and rest a while. All of the activity they had been engaged in, they had to set it to one side, good as it was. But they had to regain and to restore, to nurture and to protect that relationship with the Lord. The fault and the finding that he wasn't where he should have been. That takes us to the third thing that I want to take out of this psalm. His faith. Yes, we've often said it, that the Lord never ever says, fear not. Never ever does the Lord say, fear not, without laying a good substantial foundation to it for us. We need spiritual glasses to read the book of life and to adjust our view. And that's exactly what happened to this psalmist. He had, first of all, a destination where they were going to. That's what he saw with the eyes and glasses of faith. And it prevented him from falling into the same trap again. We face the future. There's no change with the pressures we had last year or last day. The glitter, the sparkle and everything is still going to be there. But the psalmist saw another dimension. He saw something about the destiny and the destination that they were going to. Read verse 17. Here he is. And he unfolds for us, wearing his heart on his sleeve, opening up all of these things for us. When I thought to know all of this, verse 16. When I gathered all these things together that were a problem to me, it was too painful for me. Until he did something. Until he went into the sanctuary of God. Then he understood their end. He saw the destination that they were going to.
the direction that men take in their life, the direction that men take in their life will bring them to their destination after death. The direction they take in life will bring them to the destination after death. If they go along one way, they can't expect to get to any other destination than that one. A bankrupt lifestyle. A barrenness of living. A bleakness of prospect after death. Lives lived without God will bring them to an eternity without God. We have today the soaps, the papers, social media, so many different ways in which life is portrayed for us, set before us. How do we read and how do we look at these things? The psalmist wears his spiritual glasses and he reads all of these things in the light of what God has said. So what? So what if my life is different from theirs? So what if they're living the way they have and experiencing the things they've got? So what? There might be unknown experiences for us in this life, in this year to come. Does that make me waver? Does that make me question? I must stand firm and stable and sure upon the wisdom and the steadfast love of God to me. I must, and it's a very solemn, searching question, I put to myself and I put before people after I put it to myself. Am I prepared to serve God for nothing? Am I prepared to serve God for nothing except the delight I get from being in his company? Am I? That's what the wife of Job put before him. Come on, Job, you've been through hard times. Just give up your faith. Curse God and die. The psalmist looks at the destination of people who speak like that and live like that, and he sees where they're going. And he's not going to join them. The delight, the desire, the destination that they're going to first and foremost. But in contrast to that, we have the desire that he himself has. Nearness to God. To recognize and to remember again something of the greatness of God's character. The wonder of God's dealings with them. The greatness of Jehovah, Almighty God, the Sovereign God. And especially to focus upon what God has done for his people. In this plan of salvation, going to Ephesians chapter 1. This plan that was devised and set in place before time began. In the councils of eternity, God had a place for you and for me in this plan. Go to Psalm 139 and there it says, before we were shapen in the womb, God had plans and intentions for us. Think of the wonder of that as it impinges upon your life. God's interest in you and me. God's involvement in you and me. God's commitment through all the variations of paths of life, and especially God's provision in Jesus Christ as our Saviour. No matter what's going on round about us, we have one who changes not. He has come that we might have eternal life. And what is the definition of eternal life given to us in John 17? That we might know him. That we might know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's the thing that is the pinnacle of delight of the human experience, man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. And this view that he has, it's a good view, a good perspective. We don't lose out by giving God that priority in our life. We're not going to be ashamed of the stance we take or the place we stand. We can be where the psalmist is. We can be there delighting in God. We might have to remind ourselves, Psalm 23, goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life. We might have to think again, going back over the pages of our diary. God has blessed us and kept us right through. And God will continue to do that for us in the year to come. And especially as we thumb through the diary, we can come upon a stage and a page and an entry we've got. And we can see there something of a joy that we experienced and blessings we had. And we ask, where did all that come from? And so often when we do that exercise, we see the blessings that are of value, blessings that are valued and by us treasured as precious. These blessings come when we've known God to be with us and present with us. That's what the psalmist looks for. That's what he wants. And when he has it and when we have it, we are independent of our circumstances. And all these things round about us, we are instead immersed in the depths of God's love. And we have the blessings that he gives us that are valued more than anything else this world can give. A warmth of character. A soft and gentle and close walk with our God in obedience. An upward glance of expectation. And a thrill of enjoying his blessings each and every day. We would be disappointed. We will be disappointed if we take the cup this world offers to us. Drink it and you'll have joy. Take this and you'll be good. If we take that, we'll be disappointed time after time. We have political answers, better environment, economic forces, social provision. Again, no. The one answer for the goodness that we look for and the blessings that fill our life is time after time, the blessings of God to come upon us. The forces of hell can be loose against us, but nothing of these forces will touch us if we are safe in the arms of Jesus. And so he opens his heart in verse 1. He takes us on a journey through his life and he comes to the conclusion that began in verse 1. It's that conclusion that he gives us at the very end. It is good for me. It's good for me to draw near to God. It's good for you and me because we don't know what's going to come our way. We don't know what pressure we're going to be exposed to. We don't know where we've got to go and walk and carry in this year to come. But whatever it does hold for us, whatever 2022 may bring, let us then hold on to what the psalmist gives us as his resolution. Nearness to God is good for me. If you let me just close with one poem by John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. And he wrote this poem, and I'm closing with it tonight. I ask the Lord that I may grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favoured hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, his own hand, he seemed, intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all my fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds, and laid me low. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ, from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayest seek thy all in me. It is good for me to draw near to God. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, again we give thee praise for thy goodness, the blessings bestowed as we linger upon thy word and come before thee in worship and praise. Part not from us as we part now from each other. Follow with us, come with us along the path of life, and may we know what it is, the sheer joy and delight of thy company every day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 73 that we've been thinking of, but this time from verse 23 to 26. The priority the psalmist gives: nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand and still upholdest me. Thou with thy counsel while I live wilt me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward receive me to abide. Whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire, besides thee there is none. My flesh and heart doth faint and fail, but God doth fail me never. For of my heart God is a strength and portion forever. 73 from 23, nevertheless, continually.
Oh,
And now may grace, mercy, and peace